This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmus and our producer is Aaron Ferragonio. Please check in 866-391-1020 on what your experience has been dealing with this storm. So last night, late in the afternoon, a thunderstorm system that dropped the temperature 30 degrees in minutes with the high winds did a lot of damage, and especially in the North Hills. You mentioned Hampton seems to be one of the real hardest hit spots, Paul. And that's where a lot of the power outages are in that region.
Yeah, if you're comparing the numbers right now and you look at the list that's just freshened this up a moment ago, let's see here. Hampton, got to go one more page. There it is. So we're looking at over 6,000 outages in Hampton. On this particular page, the next closest one would be Indiana, where they've got almost 3,200, to give you some idea of the scale we're talking about. So far and away, more outages in that area. Bellevue, 2,700. Gives you a pretty good idea. Ross and Shaler are up there as well, but not anywhere near Hampton.
Yeah, the number of trees that came down across roadways, I saw in one case, fortunately, this young woman, just 18 years old, the car was hit by a tree. It crushed part of the roof. She's okay, but obviously shaken up as she walked away from that. Also, you had to turn around in many cases immediately after the storm because trees are blocking the roadways. They're still dealing with some of that this morning.
Just saw a picture on X not too long ago about a big tree in Frank Curto Park that came down across one of the paths. It's next to the roadway. It's not on the road, but you can see this thing is gigantic, and it's blocking one of the walking paths.
Yeah, Frank Curto Park is that park that's along the mountain's edge.
Bigelow Boulevard.
Yeah, as you go from the city to Bigelow Boulevard, which would be toward Heron Avenue, and then, of course, you get into Bloomfield, Shadyside. There's Polish Hill right there, Frank Curto Park. And the temperature dropping so fast, kind of an indication, Paul, of why the storms were so powerful. When you get a differential of that mid-90s heat and humidity, and then you have this wave of much colder air, it kind of triggers, and that's what happened with this storm system yesterday.
The Weather Service, if you follow them on X, they put a pretty good graphic of that, what you're describing. Put a pretty good graphic up yesterday afternoon, well before the thunderstorm warnings started pouring out. And I mean, right now I'm just paging through to try to get to that one graphic I was looking at, and there it is. There are so many warnings, you just keep scrolling. But yeah, it says that dry air, so it says rain evaporates and cools from surrounding dry air. That's up high in the clouds. And then dense cool air starts to accelerate to the surface of the ground, and that's why you get the severe winds down at the bottom.
And it started in this case, the skies got very dark and you could see the movement of the clouds. And I was right on the edge when the winds hit, and it immediately took shingles off the roof of the building that I was near, and they were flying by, and I was hoping not to get hit by them. So I got back in the car. I was under an overhang in front of a building, and I just sat there for a while. And then I saw your video that you sent.
So I have no doubt that that's what was going on at my place. This, like a downburst would be another word to use. They are covering small areas, but they can be as strong as a tornado in terms of wind speeds.
Yeah, in short periods of time. So let me dial up Duquesne Light again.
Experiencing an extremely high call volume due to today's major storm. Duquesne Light has activated its storm response team with extra staffing in all areas of the company in order to restore your service as quickly and safely as possible. You may experience an extended wait time. We appreciate your patience. Welcome to the Duquesne Light Concierge Business Center.
There you go. That really says it all right there. So they have extra crews out trying to do what they do. There's rumors out, as there always are, we're not going to get power for the rest of the week. We don't know that that's the case, so we'll continue to check on that.
So often in these situations, Larry, there are big problems that need to be solved right away. For example, service to hospitals, healthcare facilities, necessary services, and then they start repairing the bigger issues, which put people online in pretty good-sized numbers. But then when you start working your way into the neighborhoods, it could be just a simple thing as one power line that's down. It's got a whole city block off.
And we're in good company because I think 80% of the country is dealing with temperatures in excess of 90 degrees. Toledo, Ohio, not that far to the west, hit 99 yesterday.
Wow.
Keep in mind, we have not reached 100 degrees in Pittsburgh for 30 years. But this will be the hottest week in decades.
I can't remember a time that we had an AccuWeather forecast that had highs of, these are the highs. 95 today, 94 Wednesday, 94 Thursday, 92 Friday, 95 Saturday.
Yeah,
finally we get a break on Sunday.
Doing the weather on TV for 10 years, and there were some summers where we never did hit 90. The whole summer. And summer, by the way, starts officially on Thursday. All right, coming up, the Surgeon General wants to put warning labels on social media. If you have a teenager, or maybe you, the average social media online time a day, average, is over 5 hours. So if you wonder, what's everybody doing? Apparently that's what they're doing. And why the Surgeon General wants to have warning labels for social media, coming up next. Social media, you've heard a lot about it, certainly in the last few years, and warnings about the dangers, the scams, the way it makes people feel, teenagers in particular. And now the Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, wants to put warning labels on it, Paul, tobacco products and alcohol. And
the downside to social media is, and I noticed it happening to me when I first started using Facebook, you start comparing. You see your friends are making posts, everything's hunky-dory, successful, beautiful vistas, and you start to think to yourself, my life doesn't compare to that very well at all.
And you're an educated adult that knows most people post the best of,
right,
or try to make everything look as good as.
But I remember being in high school, and that was a primary drive. I wanted to be like,
sure,
my friends, as much as I possibly could, comparing myself with them continually. It's a recipe for unhappiness, and social media is accelerating it.
Especially with young teens. And if you're spending, again, an average of 5 hours doing it, well, let's start with CBS's Anne Marie Green.
The nation's top doctor issuing a warning about social media. He's so concerned about its impact on the mental health of young people that he wants Congress to mandate health warning labels like those on tobacco products. The story from CBS's Anna Werner.
Ask mom of four, Kieran Dadeja-Smith, about dealing with her kids' social media use, and she'll tell you it's been a failure.
Managing and navigating social media is definitely one of the most difficult things, I think, as a parent. There are a lot of positives that come out of it, but it's just this wild, wild west that we don't know what's out there.
Her teens, she said, spend hours online, and that's common. A Gallup poll showed on average, teens spend nearly 5 hours a day on social media. But research shows adolescents who spend more than 3 hours a day face double the risk of anxiety and depression. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy is calling for the warning label to state that social media is associated with significant mental health harms for adolescents.
We have to act with urgency. The most important thing we've got to do is make social media safer with safety standards.
Social psychologist Jonathan Haidt says the rise of social media coincided with an epidemic of mental illness.
Children today are getting less of everything else that matters. Less sleep, less time with friends, less time outside, less time moving. They're losing childhood, and that's got to impede childhood development.
Dadeja-Smith says she welcomes warning labels, but
I feel like it's a really good move in the right direction, but as for what it's going to do, I don't have a whole lot of hope, to be honest.
We reached out to several social media companies. Meta did not comment, but company officials pointed to its proposed legislation to require app stores to get a parent's approval before a teen under the age of 16 downloads an app. The company also says that other research shows positive benefits for teens from social media. Anna Werner, CBS News, San Francisco.
it's going to be tough to really, you know, manage. What is that warning label going to really do? From a practical standpoint, don't parents already know? If their kids are on social media 5 hours a day on average, don't they know already?
I'll never forget Christmas a few years ago. I was invited to a friend's home. Family members had gathered for a Christmas afternoon meal and gathering. And a 10-year-old girl had been given one of the Apple mobile devices, but it didn't have a phone or an internet connection. It just had the games and things like that. It was her first one. She was already using it like an expert within minutes of receiving it. It was just amazing to watch.
Kids are remarkably able to navigate. Let me give you an example. So the iPad, which can be, you know, a gateway to watching kids' shows. Let's assume that's the best of in learning alphabets. But there's also, you know, dangers in that too. But they know how to navigate it better than some adults.
Almost instantaneously.
Yeah, it's remarkable. But I don't know that warning labels in and of themselves are going to do a whole lot at this point. To be honest, the internet and social media is like the Wild West. It's just anything goes. Anything out there you can possibly think of is out there. All you have to do is go to YouTube, for instance. And you know I utilize YouTube sometimes to figure out, for instance, how to change the clock in a Subaru.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And believe it or not, I watched a YouTube video, and in 60 seconds...
You have your choice of videos to watch, not just one.
But that's really a practical and effective use.
When you were growing up, did your parents limit how much television you and your siblings could watch on a daily basis?
No, with three brothers and a sister, they were like, watch as much as you possibly can and leave us alone.
Right. But, you know, but I'm just saying that, you know, so many of us grew up with, you know, there were limits, you know, and the same thing must apply with these, you know,
I've been around
mobile
so long.
Devices.
Paul, I remember when I was the remote control for the TV. You know, the youngest always had to get up and change the channel, or the rabbit ears. Come a long way, folks, when you can FaceTime people across the globe. And putting a warning label on social media is not going to do anything that we don't already know you shouldn't do. Right?
I think that conclusion is inescapable.
And don't forget to download that free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Plus, check out the Ireland Contracting video feed. You can go to kdkradio.com and see what goes on behind the curtain, if you wish. I'm Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. We talked about the announcement yesterday that the Steelers will be part of HBO's Hard Knocks, along with the other three teams from the AFC North. It will premiere on December 3rd. And it's been a long time coming because the NFL, I think, has wanted the Steelers to be involved. Maybe this is a good way to get them to do it. That brought up the subject of this movie, a one-time special screening this Friday at the Harris Theater of Unbelievable. And Sports Illustrated says, Paul, the movie is wild, a kind of frantic. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia meets the Fishes episode of The Bear.
Wow.
And joining us,
you know, Buffalo Bills fans, talk about Hard Knocks.
Joining us is Scott Rubin, who is the director. And Scott spent a decade as the editor of National Lampoon, so he's got that kind of sense of humor. Scott, welcome to KDKA.
Hey, how you doing?
I feel for Buffalo fans. I was talking to Paul about this. You guys, collectively, as NFL fans, have been so close. In fact, that four-year stretch where, with Jim Kelly, you got to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row and just couldn't push it over the top. But all the things that go into getting ready for the season and game day are in Unbelievable. What was the genesis of you wanting to do this movie?
Well, you know, like people just know, most people, about the four Super Bowls in a row losses. But this goes way back, way, way back. We're, you know, since any major pro sports, about 120 years, we even had a baseball team that became the Red Sox. And, you know, what happened with that for a while. We have never won a world championship in a major sport, Buffalo. You guys have won 16, all right? Could you imagine what the Pittsburgh fan base would be like at this point? This is what the Bills, Mafia, and all Buffalo sports fans are like. They're losing it. They've gone insane. And that's what, you know, you see, like, the, you know, people jumping through tables, and the tailgating experience is like, you know, doing shots out of bowling balls, you know, and that's our, you know, and that's like a normal shot glass of bowling ball around these parts. I mean, it's insane. It's like become like Mardi Gras, like, but you made the wrong turn and you end up in Buffalo. You know, so it's just insane how. So after I got out of college, I went to L.A. and I became a comedy writer. And like you mentioned, National Lampoon for 10 years. And then 4 years ago, I moved back to Buffalo. I just wanted to come back to my hometown, and I started making movies. And when I arrived, my brother, who I used to watch the games with, you know, like growing up and right. in college, and like he ended up having a family, and they were exactly the same, except 10 times more insane. You know, they were sitting in the same chairs. They were yelling at the same, but now people were breaking things, leaving. I'm never watching it again, then coming right back in. Everything had been turned up 100 times. And I'm sitting in this, and I stayed a fan in L.A. all the years. I would go to the Bills backers bar and so forth. But I said, my God, look at this family. We're three generations sitting here screaming, yelling, believing. It's pure insanity. You know what Einstein said, you know, you think you do the same thing, you think right. you're going to get different results. It's the definition of insanity. Like, we think if we sit in that same chair, like, somehow it's going to change, and it never changes, and we always almost just win. And I think of you guys. Look, you guys are amazing. Can't we just have a little bit of Pittsburgh? You got three rivers. We got one river. If you can't go in, you fall over, you die. I mean, seriously. I mean, you got Franco Harris, you know, great 70s, the ultimate icon runner. We had O.J. Simpson. We're playing at the Harris Theater. O.J. Simpson, House of Horrors. House of Horrors. You know, you have the Immaculate Reception. The Immaculate Reception. We have Wide Right, and now Wide Right 2. You got Mass's home run. Mass's home run. We've got the Phantom Goal. I bet you don't even know what the Phantom Goal is.
Oh, I know the Phantom Goal. You bet.
You do. All right, we have the Phantom Goal. All right, that's what we got. You got Sidney Crosby. I think we had Norm Crosby perform here once. I think we did.
I think that's... I feel for you, brother.
You know, Scott, I would like to say that Larry and I were talking before the segment. I said, you know, I think that people from Pittsburgh and Buffalo would get along really well. Like, going up to a game would be great fun just to hang and be with people that have that kind of passion and loyalty.
It is the exact same. It's just that we're the, what do you guys call yourselves? The Yinzers or mm-hmm. something?
Right.
We're the Yangsters or whatever. We're the opposite city. Yes. Is there such a thing as a Yankser? Can there be a Yankser?
There is now.
All right. We're at Buffalo's the Yanksers. All right. Well, that's who we are. We're the opposite of you. We're only 5,000 population difference in the cities. I mean, we're like identical, except you guys have this unbelievable history, and we have the opposite history, which has made us very creative, right? As a fan base, we express the madness. We don't hide it. We've now become, our fans are kind of more popular than our players. I mean, other than Josh Allen, I mean, I've made football cards of the fans, you know, as a promotional thing, because people want to collect them. You know, we got Bill Zelvis. We got the two chefs. I mean, they
Unbelievable, the movie at the Harris Theater, special one-time screening this Friday night at 7:30. And Scott Rubin, director, congratulations on making the film. And maybe someday this film will be irrelevant because you'll get that Lombardi.
Oh, I should live so long.
All right. Good luck, brother.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Scott Rubin, check it out. Unbelievable.
It would be nice to go to Buffalo and try some of the food, like a beef on Weck, right? Or a Buffalo pizza or two, and go to a game in that new stadium they're building and watch the Steelers play, maybe.
Listen, they do have great wings there. I will admit it. I've been to Buffalo many times. The wings are good, and the movie's funny. Paul, listener called in, correct something I said, and they're right. I said Patriots won 7 Super Bowls. They won 6. Tom Brady won 7.
Ah, there you go.
He got the
right
bonus one
in
with
Tampa.
Tampa Buccaneers. Right. Thank you. So they got 6, 18, 6, and 9 with their 4 major sports. I don't know any other city that's got that many.
33 in total then, right?
Yeah. That's pretty good. Buffalo has none.
And that's why they're the Ainsters.
That was hilarious. Unbelievable, the movie.
I'm hoping that we'll be able to stream that movie at some point.